Today's parak is Yoshua, parak Hey. Now we're going to come now into a fuller understanding of what really has been happening, and it only becomes clear now. So we mentioned that initially the first parak was speaking about the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives over the Shilton to Yoshua, promises him that he can take over from Moshe, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with him in the same way that he was with Moshe. We find the Shvatim responded exactly the same way, and they end up giving him more, even, than had been given to Moshe. So he becomes the makar of learning out the dinim of Merida b'Malchut. We then go on to discover that the Knisa La'aretz of Yehoshua is actually a tikkun for the 12 Anashim that had been sent by Moshe, and that the vision of the Meraglim at the time of Yehoshua is so tremendously and powerfully different that it changes the entire understanding of the Knesset La'aretz, changes it from the time of Moshe, changes the way in which it was done, which he didn't leave it up to the people, as opposed to Moshe, where everybody was coming along and pressuring him and so on. Here, everything is done beruz, as the Targum puts it. That's the Cheresh, and nobody knows what's going on. And Yehoshua becomes intimately and sensually involved with the actual Cheresh of the Knesset La'aretz, which becomes Rochav HaZonah, who is now associated with the entire idea of the Knesset La'aretz. Then we find that we continue the interrelationship by bringing the same psukim that were brought by Yetzias Mitzrayim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to us about Ki Yishalcha Bincha Machar Lemar Ma Avodah Zot Lachem. We find exactly the same thing happens in the context of the crossing of the Yarden, so that we see now the interrelationship of the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the splitting of the Yamsuf, so that Kriyas Yamsuf, which is expressed there, something which Moshe Rabbeinu did, is here done by Yehoshua as another one of the parallels to Moshe, but in a very, very different way, so that initially, and this is, by the way, part of what we say on at the Haggadah Shel Pesach as well. We talk about the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives almost birth to us, so that it speaks about finding a baby, and we were found as babies and raised. The Yetziah Mimitzrayim we saw as an expression of birth, in the way that the Hayulad Goy Ba'amachat, the way we talk about the Geula Atida, and so that the parting of the sea was similar, Miminam Mismalam, to a Leda. Masha'inkein, over here we see the Knisa Teret Yisrael is Bia La'aretz, it's similar to actual Bia, it's actual penetration. And therefore we have the 12 Avanim, which are now meant to be the Edut to that penetration. We see the profound relationship of the actual feet of the Kohanim to their presence in Eretz Yisrael, and the remarkable gap at which we suddenly come to a completely new level, in which we now stand in Eretz Yisrael with the difference of what took place in transition. En route through the Yarden, we became capable of Arvut and accepted the Brit of Arvut and are now a nation that is on a completely different level than the one that was the nation at the time of Moshe. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this, Beferish, he says this is going to be the way people remember how I did to you exactly, Kasher Aseli Yamsuf, Asher Hovish Mipaneinu. So we're trying to close the circle with Yitziat Mitzrayim. Continues now the Navi, and it shows us, Yishmoa ko malchei ha-mori asher ve'iva ha-yarden yama, v'chol malchei ha-knani asher al ha-yam. So the Emori was the strong kingdom. Obviously, these are, we don't talk about, as Rashi points out in Chumash, we talk about the Emori and Knani as klali, not as the particular Chivi Yavusi, and so on and so forth, but we have now the largest groups that had established kingdoms. So if you're talking about along the Yarden, it was the Malchei Emori. You're talking about, and of course, they're associated smaller nations of the Shiva Amami. If you're talking about the strip along the Yam, the coast we called Malchei HaKna'ani. When they heard it, Asher Ovish Adonai et Mei HaYarden Mipnei Yisrael, Ad Avarnu is what it writes, but it's supposed to say Ad Ovram, how it was at the time that the Yarden stood until they went through, what is the point of having the Kri and the Ktiv? Clearly, the impact was on the writer as well. In other words, what we needed to know, just as was necessary to know in terms of the Meraglim, and we saw this with the Meraglim of Moshe as well, the interrelationship of the impact of the events on the Goyim and how that reflected back to us. So it's speaking now in first person. The writer is writing. As we went through, of course, that's not what they heard. They heard they went through, which becomes the Kri. But the implications that this is an interrelationship are there in the Kri and Ktiv. But they melted away. Lo hayabam od ruach mipnei bnei Yisrael. They no longer could breathe from the terror of the bnei Yisrael. But etahi, and it was at that point, Amar Adonai el Yehoshua, asei lecha charvot surim, v'shuv mol et bnei Yisrael shenit. Make yourself now. The poshut meaning charvot surim is not charvot out of surim, but rather the word sur, which means a rock, is the word for something that is very tsar. It's very sharp because it's very thin. So charvot surim would not necessarily mean flint. It would be charvot of metal, which were made sharply, so that it would be very sharp surim. However, there is, in fact, a lashon that learns out that it means literally with an actual, there's a Yerushalmi that he made over here, actual sela, flint. He did use flint. It may mean that it was actual charvot, literally made out of tzur, or charvot that were very sharp. But what does it mean, shov mol et bnei Yisrael shenit? Do the mila again. Now the Gemara learns from here, shuv, shenit seem to be two different things. So just getting now this the state of events, as we're going to explain in the coming psukim, basically what happened was that at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, prior to the Shchitas HaPesach, as the Medrash tells us, Yisrael had almost given up on Mila, except for the Levim, Bnei Levi. Came time for the Korban Pesach. Everybody was reluctant to do Mila. Then we have the strange story of the smell of the Pesach. Being Ma'ira people, we want to be part of this. So that's B'damaye Chayi, B'damaye Chayi. Two Damim, there was the Dam of the Korban Pesach that was on the door. And then there was the Dam of the Mila, B'schus those two Damim, because otherwise an oral is possible for Achilas Pesach. So there was a knisa to Am Yisrael through Mila at the moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We are now standing on the other side of the Yarden on the 10th day of Nisan. It's just in time to become Tohor, to become also Mulin, and be well enough to be able to bring the Korban Pesach, assuming we do our Mila tomorrow. We're going to have to assume it's going to take 3 days to get well, so that we're just going to be able to bring the Korban Pesach on time. So here we are back in Mitzrayim again, a new parallel, so to speak. We're at that same point. There was no Korban Pesach that was brought during that period, except for the special Korban Pesach was brought b'Shana Hashini. So we had the same problem. We needed a special takana. We come now in Eretz Yisrael. Though the first thing is, same thing, that same problem we had before. That's the Shuv. Because, as the Medrash points out, it was originally Aharon, Moshe, and Yehoshua who had taken charge of the Mila of Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim. So that either it was a machlokas, whether Yehoshua was the actual Mayal, and then each one, Aaron and Moshe, took care of other parts of the Mila and Mitzitza and so on. Fine. Or whether maybe Yehoshua was the last one, and Moshe was the one that was Mayal, now he has to be. Okay. But what happened was, is that there was no chiev of priya at the time of the original Mila, at least the way the Gemara is medayek, that shenit means even someone who was nimol would require priya, because if there are any leftovers of the membrane that's under the foreskin, so that would be me'akev the Mila. So that there would have to be an actual shenit. Now, during the entire time of the Midbar, no one was mal, for several reasons. First of all, you never knew when you were going to move. So therefore, if you were in a position in which you might have to travel the next day, which would be a sakonis nefashis, and clearly would be a sakana to be left behind in the midbar. So memela, nobody could be expected to be nimo, because what am I supposed to do? I can't be mal my child and now not be able to move along with the machana, when you never know when that machana is going to go, as the Chumash points out. Furthermore, the weather was unsuitable for mila, because you are not allowed to be mal when the weather is yuma de'iva. Now yuma de'iva means there's no wind that clears the sky. Why was there no wind during the period of Midbar? There's two approaches in the Gemara. Either because they were in the matzav of Nidui, because of the Chet HaMeraglim, or because the Anane HaKaved would have been blown. And therefore, in order to avoid blowing the Anane HaKaved, there was no Ruach Tzfonis. Okay. Whatever the case is, there was no Mila during this period, which means that the first moment that we can be mal is where we have a malon. So if you're going to be in a place where you know you can stay, then you can do mila. But if you're traveling, same thing happened with Moshe. Till he got to the malon, he couldn't do the mila. But the moment that he was at the malon and he knew he had his room, then instead of worrying about bringing in the suitcases first, as the Medrash says, he should have immediately got to work and done the Mila, and that's what happened. So since he was Isaac with the porter before he was Isaac with the Mila, therefore he was almost punished with that whole story with Sipar. Fine. So we've got a situation over here in which kids that were still around, who had been less than 20 years old at the time of the Maaseh HaMeraglim, were Nimolim. And the question is, as Rashi points out by Avram Avinu, over the period of time, of course, that membrane tends to simply disappear. So the question was, there might have been some people that actually required, the youngest ones, would require a second Mila. And then there was the entire generation that had grown up in the Midbar, that had been born in the Midbar, that didn't even get the initial Mila. Forget about the problem of Priya. Okay, so comes along now, Yehoshua Vayaslo, Yehoshua Charvot Surim. So according to that Medrash, it was Yehoshua personally who was Mal, which of course doesn't seem to be physically possible. You got an awful lot of people over there. 1 mile for all those people ain't going to finish a job. So again, the Pashtun meaning, whenever we say someone who is responsible for something, does it, the Pashtun meaning is that he now appointed the Mohalim. He makes Charvot Surim, Vayomal et Bnei Yisrael, El Giv'ah, that Giv'ah became called Giv'ah Ta'aralot, which is actually a Targum, says it twice, Giv'ah, and then they called it Giv'ah Ta'aralot because of this Maaseh. V'zeh adavar asher mol Yehoshua, what it was that Yehoshua circumcised was, you need to take consideration the following. Kol ha'mayotzei mi-Mitzrayim ha-Zecharim, whoever had left Mitzrayim the Zecharim, because remember that Bechlal, nothing of the effects of the Midbar were detectable among women. As the Medrash points out, Vatoma Sham Miriam is because she was the only woman who died. But of course, it's one Medrash. No woman died at all in order to make the difference between the Gezerah that was on the Zecharim who had participated in the Maaseh HaMeraglim and not sufficiently loving Eretz Yisrael to show the difference between them and the women, which of course went back to the difference of the Yetziyah Mitzrayim, which was all women, which of course goes back to the difference of the Knesset now to Eretz Yisrael, which, as we pointed out, again, is women, whether it's in terms of Rachav or whether it's in terms of the Maaseh HaMakpelah initially, which was in the Schus of the Kinyan of Makom Kvura of Sarah. But Lamaisa, so the men are the problem over here. The men, kol anshei ha-milchama metu ba-midbar. So they're out of the question here, because the people, most of the people, the ones that had been included in the anshei ha-milchama from 20 years up, they're dead. So there's nobody to discuss about them doing the milo or being the nimolim. So they metu ba-derech b'tzitam mi-mitzrayim. Ba-midbar, ba-derech b'tzitam mi-mitzrayim. That's because ki mulim ha-yu kol ha-am ha-yotzim. There was a mila at the time of the Yetziyah. V'chol ha-am ha-yilodi ba-midbar, ba-derech b'tzitam mi-mitzrayim, lo malo. Ki 40 shana hochu b'nei Yisrael ba-midbar, ad tom kol ha-goy anshei ha-milchama, ha-yotzim mi-mitzrayim, asher lo shamu b'kol ha-dunoi, asher nishba ha-dunai lahem levilti ha-rotam et ha-aretz, asher nishba ha-dunai lavotam latit lanu, eretz zavat chalav u-dvash. Now all of this is completely, it sounds ridiculous, but we need to go over now the whole story of the Haftacha, the Maaseh HaMeraglim, the 40 years in the Midbar, as if nobody knows this. This is like a proclamation that Yehoshua is making over here. So clearly, as we're going to see in a moment, clearly the distinction over here that we made at the beginning of this discussion, again, we've split it up because of the Goyim, we split up the Prokim, but it's all part of the same Seder, according to the Seder of the Mesorah, we split it with that gap. This gap is indeed the gap that separates between Yotzei Mi Mitzrayim in every sense. And therefore, what we need to say is, anybody who thought in terms of, let's go back to Mitzrayim, did not make it. We're talking about people who were able to get beyond Mitzrayim. The last remnant of Mitzrayim that is still with us here in Eretz Yisrael was the Orla, because that was part of the Arboim Shana that was Merumas in the actual Golas that came as a continuation of the Golas by Mitzrayim, because they couldn't now get themselves out of Mitzrayim. And therefore, at B'nehem, Hekim Tachtam, same language that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks at the moment of the Meraglim, the very children that they said are going to die in the Midbar, they will die in the Midbar, those children will be the one who will enjoy everything that they should have been dreaming about. Otam mal Yehoshua, ki arelim hayu ki lo malo otam badarech. So, that's what we're talking about here, and this is exactly why, vayikasher tamu kol ha-goy lihimol, after the entire nation were now nimolim, vayeshvu tachtam b'machaneh atchayotam, and now that process was completed over the 3 days of recovery, now vayomer Adonai Yehoshua, hayom galoti et cherpat Mitzrayim mi'alechem. Now we see clearly that this Knisa La'aretz was not complete until Gilgal. And that's why it's called Gilgal. Vayikra Shem HaMakom Ahu Gilgal Ad Hayom Hazeh. Gilgal means we've turned completely around. I have been Gal, I moved away. The Kherpas Mitzrayim come full circle. Exactly. So that our vision of coming full circle here is confirmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At last, we're beyond Mitzrayim. Why is this called Kherpat Mitzrayim? Because Mitzrayim all along, we know that they were the ones, as the Zohar points out, as the deeper Nekuda, is that the Mitzrayim represents the Tanim HaGadol. It's Paro in his waters, so to speak. That was the Keach, the Tanim HaGadol, is basically the phallic symbol of Mitzrayim, which is not Nemo. The way in which we go ahead now and remove the Orla and put it under the earth, because Nachash Afar Lachmo, as the Zohar points out, is to show the fact that we've gone beyond the reptilian, and we are now human, fully human. So long as we were connected to Mitzrayim, it was still basically a reptilian relationship of competition, of destruction, not oriented towards tikkun, but towards survival. Today, that Chera pointed out that when Paro originally said, Ra'ah ki ra'ah neged p'neichem, that ra'ah neged p'neichem was actually Dam, but it was the Dam of Vila. They were saying it was the simon of Dam and the Rakia, you're all going to die and you're all going to be killed. And they continued to be Mecharef B'nei Yisrael until this moment. Vayachanu B'nei Yisrael ba'Gilgal, vayasu et ha-Pesach ba'arba'as ha-yom la'chodesh, ba'erev ba'arvot Yericho. And so, this brought them to the 14th. They are now well enough to bring the Korban Pesach. None of them are Aurelian. They obviously had to go through Tahira, Hazoya, perhaps earlier, we bring a raya from here that an oro could be Makabal Hazaya, because you needed 7 days. This is the Gemara's raya. And now they're ready. They bring a Korban Pesach, and the next day, first day after Yontif, after the first day of Yontif, they bring the Korban HaOmer, and Vayochlu Me'avur Ha'aretz Bimocharat HaPesach Matzot V'Kalui Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. That was the first moment at which they were able to eat the actual peres of Eretz Yisrael for the first time. Up until then, everything was chodash, therefore it was aser, except for the things that had already grown up beyond the shlish, brishus, and akum. That wasn't chayiv, but anything else, anything new, they had to wait until they brought the korban. Brought the korban omer, and now they are zeiche to the peres of Eretz Yisrael. Vayishbot haman mimochorat, and the next day, mimochorat ha-pesach, the man stopped. Now the man had stopped falling well before. Machlokas, how long before, it depends on when the death of Moshe Rabbeinu was. But from the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, 39 days, this is the 40th day, 70 days if you hold, it was Zayin Bishvat, which is the Machlokas. And here the man had actually stopped, but the last tiny bit of man that had been collected on the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life lasted them until they were able to actually be Nichnas Eretz Yisrael, to eat Me'avur Aretz, V'lo haya od livnei Yisrael man, they no longer had any man, and therefore, Vayochlu mitvuat Eretz Kenan vashanahi. They therefore ate from the actual growth in Eretz Kenan in that year. Now, that means that if it hadn't been that the man had stopped, they would not have eaten from Perot Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, because the man was Ratzui. As the Medrash puts it, you go over to a kid and you ask him, how come you're eating that lousy whole wheat bread? Because my mom didn't give me any Wonder Bread. And how come you're drinking just water? Because my mom didn't give me any Coke. So the same thing is true over here. Why are B'nai Yisrael eating regular human food? Because my mom didn't give me any real food. And this is what it's indicating, which of course means that we have come to the moment of the end of Moshe. Remember that until this time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps reassuring Yoshua, I'm going to be with you, the way was Moshe. The first words of the Sefer, Moshe is dead. You understand? And that the Medrash pointed out. It means Yoshua couldn't believe it. There's still got to be Moshe. And he was. He was with them. In the sense that he continued to provide for them, as the Medrash puts it, even after his death for those 40 days. So that they ate the money even though Moshe wasn't physically present. At this moment, Moshe died for B'nai Yisrael. And therefore, the next pasuk describes the most horrific change of all, which is truly the completion of the circle and Moshe's death. Yoshua is not actually in the city of Yericho, because they haven't captured it yet. But from here we learn the halacha that a city extends outside of the city, which is called the Ibur Ha'ir. Has all kinds of dinim. Magabe Shabbos, which of course is the man, which of course explains the Alpayim Amah and the Oran, as we mentioned earlier. But anyway, getting back to the issue, he's standing in the Ibura Shavir of Yericho, lifts up his eyes, and he sees Vayar v'Neish Shavit Negdo, an extremely powerful figure standing in front of him, v'charbo shlufa v'yado, and he's holding a rather dangerous-looking sword. Vayelech Yoshua Elav, which you would say is rather foolhardy, but as the Medrash points out, that was part of the responsibility that Moshe gave him. You're supposed to go in front. Don't send somebody to find out. So he walks over to him, and he says to him, Halanu ata im letzareinu. We don't know. Who are you on our side? Some type of magical figure sent to help us with the Yerusha Zaharetz? Or do you represent some type of tsar of the Umayis who is going to fight us? Vayom elolo, I'm not on the other side, my friend. Ki ani tsar tseva Adonai atabati. I am God's general, and now I've come. Says the Gemara, the most amazing thing. Atabati means, you know, God tried to send me once before to that Moshe character. He said, no way, we're not accepting any Tsar Tzvahs. If you're going to send some Tsar Tzvah, you can leave us right here because we ain't going. So Moshe Rabcha, when I wanted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hineni Shaleach Malach. So Moshe didn't even allow me to come. I beg of you, don't try to do the same thing that he did. Atabati. This time, I'm here. Because Moshe had the power to demand that the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be with them directly, you don't. And this is the real death of Moshe. So that now, for the past 40 years, the only way in which we would accept the Knesset Haaretz is that the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes with us until that gap, you cross the gap, you're ready now for Knesset Haaretz, which requires Mila. Without Mila, there's no way, as Yoshua told them, you actually believe you're going to get into Eretz Yisrael as Arelim. Well, that's the whole essence of coming into Eretz Yisrael, is b'schus the brit, and that's the original promise to Avraham Avinu. It was all part of one brit. How do you think you're going to get into Eretz Yisrael? But now the moment of Mila has come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them into Eretz Yisrael. That's all he guaranteed to do to Moshe. Now it's over. Comes along the Tzar Tzvah and says, now I'm here. You're going to have to deal with me. Vayipo Yoshua el panav arza, he bows down on his face, vayishtachu. Vayomerlo, ma adoni medaber al avdo, says the Medrash, look how awful this is. Here, look at this change in Madrega. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send a Malach, and Moshe says, get out of here. The same Malach appears to Yoshua, he falls down flat on his face in his Mishtach. This is the difference in Dargah, it's inconceivable. Vayomer Tsar Tzva Adonai el Yoshua. This goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu's first moment of contact with the Shechina. Okay, he says, let's start over. Shal na'al chami al raglecha, take your shoe off of your foot. Ki amakom asher ata omed alav kodeshu, you are standing in a holy place. Now by Moshe it said, admat kodeshu, says the Medrash. Yes, because Moshe was standing in a place of tuma, so the adoma needed to be mekudash. He's standing in Eretz Yisrael, everything is admat kodesh. So therefore it has to be a new level of kedusha that comes from the dibur of the Shechina through the Malach to him, and therefore he couldn't say admat kodeshu. Vayaz Yoshua king. So that means that at this moment we have the complete transition. We are now in Eretz Yisrael. There's no longer the promise to Moshe, Alo Belechtecha Imanu, the entire Knesset of the Orayim that we had over here with Yoshua, with the Leviim. All of that is now a new level in which only the Malach will be with us. That, by the way, is why the mimer, every mimer in Masechet Megillah that relates to these issues, is done by Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. The entire Masechet, it's astounding. Because Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, because this represents those two keichas, which was the keich of Yoshua, all Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. So this becomes the entire Maseches Megillah, which was redoing Knesset Haaretz entirely on our own with the carry, which becomes now Yikar in the Megillah, that Yoshua needed now the help of the Malach. That becomes now that tikkun, which is why the Megillah is built around the cities Mimot Yoshua ben Nun specifically.